B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Let's go to Quaz. Quaz, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Quaz?
Hey, I already know that you said it because I hate it now more than I hate it then. And I know it was you who said that. I hate that. How are you going? Wait.
I love it.
Wait, did you say a ceremony?
Oh, I'm a big ceremony man.
It goes the LSU contingency. Here goes the LSU.
Here they go.
Here goes the LSU contingency. Oh, my goodness.
Now from the SEC.
No. Listen. The draft is perfect. The way it is. 4 days is perfect. I love, listen, well, actually it's three, but I love the rapid fire on Saturday. I love the rapid fire. You got to be thinking on your feet. You got to hurry up and move with it. And if you ill prepared, you will get slaughtered on that back end and you'll come away with nothing because you don't know the board. And I got to say, them all sitting in different rooms, I'm hoping that it makes them a little sharper with their eyes on that back end because you can get players all throughout this draft.
How about it, man?
Especially at the positions we need. Those positions. But yeah. I just want to wrap up one quick conversation we was having last week, okay?
Yes, probably.
Before this gets taken way off the rails. I wanted to make sure that we all understood compensation real quick because you're a component of moving up. Now, if you move up to somewhere around 13 or 14, that's about 350 points. If you move up that, every time you move up, it's like 50 points from a fourth rounder. So listen, if you was going to go from 21 to 13 or 14 before Denver, then make sure you get one of those three. You're definitely giving up your two and possibly one of your compensatory fourths. Okay? Now, if you, or the other way around that is give up your fourth and your two compensatory fourths. You're going to come away with to do that. It's a lot of draft stock. If you just want to go to 18, it's going to cost you two compensatory fourths. That's just a broad view.
No, but here's the thing. And trust me, because I know guys that do this for a living, as you well imagine. That's a guideline.
I know.
What you're talking about.
I understand. It's still just a guideline.
It all depends on where you're going. What's the run on? See, what helps is that certain guys, certain teams got their wide receivers.
Some do, but everybody wants two. Remember that. Everybody wants two.
So you don't know why you are so hell-bent on not moving up. I don't understand it.
Well, the reason why is because
there is a clear division among the top three of the receivers.
Right. Listen, but it's not a clear that clear of a division to the next three to five.
I'm telling you,
when you look at
listen, you and I, we both look at it. I trust your opinion. I value your opinion. I'm not saying you're crazy. We just disagree that I want, like, to me, what Ruggs can do, Jefferson
is not
can.
That much more special than some of these other kids in this draft.
Yes,
it's not
is.
That much more special.
He runs. He is markedly faster than Justin Jefferson.
Well, explain his production then. Why is he like 67th in production? Because he was a one-trick pony. We got that guy already. If you're talking about production, you're looking at Justin Jefferson. He's the one who got the production and the measurable.
First of all, they threw the ball. With Joe Burrow, they broke all kinds of records throwing the football this year. When you're looking at, come on, bro. I mean, seriously, Quaz, you can't compare the production in college football. If you watch college football, you know that
production from the SEC.
No, you can't because you have no clue. I'm sorry. When it comes to, if you look at college football, you can't go by numbers and production because Alabama played two teams, Auburn and LSU. The rest were down.
Right. And I get that.
So if you're going to compare stats, that's being foolhardy.
All right, but what I'm saying is he also had the playoffs to go after. That's the two of the top teams in the nation outside of the SEC. He didn't work because of Henry Ruggs.
Holmes, they didn't lose. Alabama didn't lose because of Henry Ruggs. And by the way, Jefferson played an extra game. I mean, come on. Stop. Quasi, I love you, but you're crazy with this guy. Henry Ruggs is so much faster than Jefferson. I don't understand what you're – how could you even say he's not?
Because Jefferson ran a 4.4. Ruggs ran just under a 4.3.
You can cite
he ran
all
– under 4.3.
You didn't watch – obviously, you didn't watch
he ran
two.
A 4.3
I
and a 4.3.1. I'm watching the combines now. And
good combines.
I'm watching the combines right now as we talk.
Dude, one guy plays at a much faster speed. That's what he is.
But one guy is built on catching a lot of balls in a lot of tricky different areas.
And you call Ruggs a one-trick pony?
He got a nose for the end zone.
Henry Ruggs doesn't have a nose for the end zone. How do you know that?
Not as much as Jefferson, dude.
Yeah, because Jefferson, you played opposite.
Like the third in the nation
again, you're going by stats. Stats. Stats live.
Okay.
I try to
okay.
tell you about it all the time. Quasi, I got to go. I love you. You frustrate me to no end, but I love you. Have a great day. You can't go stats at Collins, please. You can't go. You can't compare Jefferson. I'll go. You want me to give you scouts? Like, you don't trust my opinion? You want me to line up like 10 guys? 10 scouts, tell you, one guy's better. One-trick pony, and you got that with Deshaun. The problem is you don't have that. He was about to say you got that with Deshaun Jackson. That was the problem last year, that you didn't have speed. You need speed, Rock. You got to eat thunder. You got to eat lightning and crap thunder. Come on, Judas. Olympics. 610-632-0975. You want to jump on? Doc Mike is coming on. 610-632-0975 is how you join us. You got any questions for Dr. Mike? He's coming on next. So if you have any questions for him, we'll get back to the draft stuff. We got World Free coming up to tell some stories, some hoops. We got you covered all day long. Keep it right here. Cuz Radio, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back, 1121. Cuz Radio with Judas, hanging out. Our 11 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. All right, got some open lines if you want to check in, 610-632-0975. We're going to get you an update of everything that's going on with Dr. Mike. Maybe some things that we have to watch out for, look out for. Maybe, you know, what kind of, you know, we'll ask him how much longer do you think this thing will last? You know, that's, it seems to be in China, they're reopening movie theaters. So that's a good sign.
Yeah, that is a good sign. I know their numbers are going down, which is good.
Yeah. They call him now, Tunis. He's ready. He's ready to go. He just texted me. Yeah, so, you know, the fact that those numbers are going down and that the social distancing worked or was working big time there. So maybe, you know, we can possibly be on the right track and get everything back to normal. You know, who knows? Maybe by, you know, middle of May, like Mark Cuban was talking about, maybe we can actually have some basketball. And maybe, you know, it'll be interesting to see if hockey follows suit, and, you know, whether or not we can actually get some normalcy around here. Look, I know everybody's jonesing and chomping at the bit to get back to work, to get back to normalcy. So hopefully that, you know, what do we have to do? You know, hopefully that this thing's working. I saw that flight, the picture of the Baldy flight. I mean, literally just him to Fort Lauderdale. All right, let's get him on the up on the line. Here he is from the University of Pennsylvania, and one of the great people. You watch him on Fox and local Good Day Philadelphia. He's the greatest. Dr. Mike Sirigliano joins us. Dr. Mike, how are you?
Cuz, I feel like it's fourth down. We got like 40 yards to go, 10 seconds left, and we got to do a play or we're going to lose. That's kind of where I'm at right now. We're in it, man. We're in the war.
All right, tell us, because I'm trying to feel optimistic. Are you optimistic? Can we what's it look like to you?
Well, I think I am ultimately optimistic, but I think right now we need to be, as I've said from the very beginning, we don't fear this virus, we respect it. Right. And if you're looking at New York City, you're kind of seeing what may happen, and there's going to be this surge that everybody's heard about and flattening the curve and everything. And, you know, if anybody's out there listening that is not convinced, just turn on one of the television stations and look at what's going on in New York. What you need to do is socially distance, stay home, don't go anywhere unless you have to go get food, you have to get, you know, or you need a doctor's appointment for an emergency. We're not doing any routine stuff. It's only emergencies. And, you know, we're probably going to be redeployed. We're going to get deployed to one of the hospitals in the city in a couple of weeks, next week maybe, to handle the surge of patients that we may experience here, like in New York. But I'll tell you what, cuz, you can be optimistic about this. Philly, we've been working on this, and we're going to make it happen. All right? I got news for you.
So when we see these other countries, and you saw China, and there's talk about China reopening movie theaters, and, you know, as they're trying to move past this thing, how much hope and optimism does that give you?
Oh, I think we're going to get through this. This will pass. What we need to do right now is to limit the numbers of cases that we have right now. I've had a couple of patients. I mean, this thing is, are we allowed to say mofo? It's a mofo, yes. This virus. And it can make people very, very sick. And I think what we need to do is to get through this surge, get through this period of time, and hopefully in the next couple of months we'll see it go away. It may come back in forms here and there in terms of a second wave, but I think by then we'll have medications, we'll have a vaccine, and that's the key. Everybody's just got to hunker down right now for the time being. But like in China, I mean, and that it started there in November, and now what? It's almost April. So I'm cautiously optimistic that in a number of months we'll be where they are. But we got to take this seriously. And if anybody's out there listening, you got to stay home. It's not business as usual, my friends.
So when people say, and you know, listen, a couple things. The president wants to reopen things by Easter. Is that plausible? Is that, I mean, how are you looking?
Like Dr. Fauci said, and he's my hero. He is a great guy. He was critical in the whole HIV thing back when that broke, when I was a medical student. People were dying. We didn't know what was going on. There's probably going to be areas of the country and certain select situations where maybe businesses can get back together, but not in these parts, I don't think. I think we need to squelch this. As Mayor Kenney said yesterday, we've got to really hunker down and get through this period of time and make sure we don't overwhelm our healthcare systems. I got to tell you, I'm a big fan of the public health doctor in Penn in Philly, and what everybody's trying to do here. The governor of New York, Cuomo, everybody's got to listen to what they're saying. Right. You know, like there's still people going out like for walks with groups of people. That can't happen. Cannot right. happen right now.
Right. I read something about the beaches being closed this summer. Do you see something like that? I mean, I know this is all hypothetical, and I just, you know, there's just so much uncertainty that we're living. I guess, you know, we just are looking for something to, anything to kind of, you know, put, hang our hat.
Do you remember conversations that you and I had when Nick Foles took over, when Carson Wentz got hurt, and it was like the end of the world? Remember that? And I said, do. You got to believe. You have to believe. That's all we have. We have the right. power of the human spirit.
Yes, you saved me because I did not believe. I only believed in Carson.
I believe that Philly, in particular, is a family city. We are family. We're not New York. We're not L.A. We're a family. And the bottom line is that people around here care for each other, even though, you know, there's crime and stuff. But, I mean, the spirit of this city is different, in my opinion, because I've lived here my whole life.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is that, maybe we won't be able to go to the beach in June. I don't know. To be honest with you, cuz, long as I'm not on a ventilator, I don't care about going to the beach.
Right.
All
right?
And so people have to realize that convenience, that's like a first world problem. You know, like there were a lot of people complaining about Wawa, saying that they're going to have to pour your coffee, and people were outraged. It's like, give me a break, all right? I mean, we're dealing with life and death here, folks.
Yeah,
we're not dealing with coffee.
You know, it's funny because I think for those people that haven't been directly affected, we don't see the gravity of it. And here we talk to you, a guy that's on the front lines of this thing, and then we understand that, hey, you know, there is a real invisible war that's happening, and we need to pay attention.
Because this is a war, man. There's no question in my mind. This is a war. We are being attacked by an invisible enemy. And the thing that's cruel about this is that it seems to be very minor in some people. And by the way, for those who think they're young and healthy and they work out all the time, a couple of my patients did the same thing. They still got it. And some of them, and I wish I knew. I don't know why some people get more sick than others.
Wow.
But some get very, very, very sick with this, and some get a minor thing. The problem is, we don't know, and it's not the age, cuz. Like we used to say, well, if you're under 60, you're less at risk. Well, you know what? In Montgomery County, I think there was a four-year-old. I mean, there's a bunch of people. Everyone, you should look at everyone as potentially having it. And by the grace of God, we will all get through this. But we've got to make sure that we don't overwhelm the healthcare systems so that the people that need to be on ventilators get what they need to get through this, and we will get them to survive it.
Judas, go ahead, buddy.
I got a question for you, Doc. Now, for people that are still, you know, working and out and working, do you suggest that when they get home from work, should they just completely strip down and put their clothes right in the wash right away and change so that you're not bringing stuff back on your house or on your couch or on your bed or anything like that?
Well, you know, this virus in a scary way, and one of the reasons why we think it's spreading so much in New York, it lasts. It stays on things like subway car railings. And so I'll tell you my little system. This is what I've been doing, and I've been proactive. My staff and I, we wear scrubs during the day. They get put in a hamper. They're professionally cleaned by the hospital, you know, the department. And then what we do is I put my street clothes on. I go home. I call when I'm close to home. My son gets me our little homemade Purell outside the door. I wash my, I disinfect, I touch the doorknob, I get in, and I immediately go right up to my bathroom. I take my clothes off and I get in the shower and I lather up. I haven't been this clean since I was five with my mother washing me in the bathtub. Okay? I am clean, clean, and clean. So that's what I would do. All right? Like, just don't take any chances, because this stuff can last on inanimate objects and things like doorknobs, stuff like that. Just be cautious. If you're the if you're the person that is going out making a living, just don't panic. Don't be concerned. Be appropriately respectful of this virus, and we will get through this.
Let me ask you a question. Because I read that there's certain medicines that you should not take if you fear you have it.
You should not
take ibuprofen.
Yeah.
Is that true? Because it would attack the lungs?
Well, that theory has pretty much been disproved. You know, there's so much anxiety out there and so much concern about all kinds of things, including this drug called hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin. I've been getting tons and tons of calls about it. And the bottom line is that we don't know just yet what the best treatment is. And I used to use this phrase with medical students, you know, in God we trust and everyone else show me the data. We've got to find from a scientific way what works and what doesn't work. And there are tons of high-level research people. I can tell you at Penn that all of the research people are gathering together to try to solve and kick some corona butt. Okay, and
wow,
and
the,
so we
the
have
brilliant to, minds so at University of Pennsylvania. I mean,
regarding,
I'm in awe of those people.
Well, regarding the Motrin, the most recent information is that is not actually true. All right, that's not true. But look, I mean, what I would say is, if you have symptoms, if you have a concern, you know, this is a time when you might want to check with your healthcare provider. Tylenol, if you have a fever. But if you have a fever, you probably in this era right now might want to be self-quarantining if you have a fever and a cough. But so, and then the other thing I want to bring up is the whole, there are certain blood pressure medicines that are known as ACE inhibitors or ARBs, and they're very commonly used. And the data suggests that they are okay. No one is recommending, there was this one small flurry of information about that. No one is indicating that we need to stop that as of right now. And so don't panic. The key for everyone is not so much that sort of stuff, but social distancing, washing your hands, staying home, and doing the right thing.
How are we in Philly when it comes to the supplies and our situations right now at the hospital?
Everyone is short. Everyone is short of N95 masks. And look, you know, I would think there's a lot of construction people out there that may have some. If you have them, we'll take them. N95 masks are really the very good defense to protect our healthcare providers. Even little booties for our people in the ICUs. Anything, any kind of masks, anything like that. Goggles, anything to eye protection, stuff like that. And they're really putting out a lot of pleas for that. And I got to tell you again, to support my concept that Philly is one awesome family town, people are stepping up and they've really been coming through. So
that's great.
You know, look, man, I wish that Ed Snyder was alive, because he would get, I know exactly what Ed would say. He'd say, you know what? We're not going to take any crap from anybody. We're not going to take anything from anybody. All right?
That's great.
And when the Russians, remember, I'll tell you an insider story about Ed Snyder. The Russians came to town to play the Flyers way, way back in the 70s, right? Well, they didn't want to come back on the ice after the first period because they, you know, the Flyers were a little bit hard-hitting. Yeah. All right? And he went to their locker room. He said, you know what? You aren't going to get paid if you don't get back on. And they got back on. That's a little insider story from Ed Snyder's coffers. But, man, I wish he were here, because he would get everybody rallied up and he'd say, you know what? We're not taking any stuff from anybody. That's nobody.
Beautiful. I love it. Doc, thanks, brother. You're the greatest, man. We appreciate
it. I love you, cuz.
Love you, buddy.
We'll get through this.
Keep it up. Be safe, all right?
Everyone has a part to play. Everyone will get through this. We've had challenges before, not quite as big as this one, I got to tell you, but we will prevail.
You think sports, June?
June? I'm talking ventilators, life and death. I don't know.
I know.
We're watching.
I gotta stop. I'm sorry.
My son is a sports addict, which makes me think he's not mine. Like he's so. I was in the model.
Well, he's gonna hang out with me.
And science kits. That was me. And my son, we've watched the Villanova win the NCAA like 9 times already. And I love it.
He's going to hang out with Uncle Ant.
I know. After this is all said and done, I'm telling you what, we're all going to party like it's 1999. I got news for you, pal.
Amen, brother. Amen. Thank you, brother. But listen,
be safe,
man. We love you,
love
buddy.
Love you.
There he is, the great Dr. Mike Sirigliano. University of Pennsylvania, and of course you see him on Fox and the whole thing, and he's on the front lines of this situation. He's great man, smart man. So we got to listen up. All right, let's get back to the phone lines. Paul in the Northeast, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What do you say, Paul?
Hey guys, how are you?
What's up, brother? How you feeling?
Not too bad, man. I'm hanging in there. I'm actually one of the guys that has to go to work and fix some people's heaters, so I'm out working.
Oh, God bless you, brother. God bless you, man.
I wanted to make a statement and ask you a question.
Sure.
You know, with so many people being home right now, right, and they're all watching their computers and they're all making decisions on what we should do with the draft, right?
Yeah.
Don't you think this draft is going to be the most watched from the Eagles' standpoint, and if they don't get it right, the most criticized? Because people have so much time on their hands.
Yes. Listen, we're crazed about the draft regardless.
Anytime, right?
But yes, without a doubt.
Thinking about it when you were talking about it, right? And the caller before me, before Dr. Mike was talking about the draft, and you were like, no. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, man, this is going to be a frenzy.
Yeah.
If our dear Mr. Roseman doesn't hit a grand slam this draft.
It is funny how we're going to be talking about this thing. We're going to be crazy about it, like, and listen, that's who we are anyway, right? Like, we're crazy about it, but you're dead right, man. Even more so we're going to be freaking out.
Did you get a chance to watch that Flyers game last night from Pittsburgh in the playoffs?
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was awesome, man. That made me realize how much I really miss hockey.
Could you imagine this team was going to make a run?
I know they were, man.
They were going to make a real run.
Yep. I'm hoping they can come back in May.
I know.
But I don't know.
You know what? I start to get optimistic. And then you talk to you talk to Dr. Mike and you go.
Oh, yeah, and you're like, uh-oh.
Well, maybe I shouldn't be,
Yeah, right. Yeah. Listen, you guys, please be safe and healthy.
Thank you, brother. You too. And thank you for being out there on the front lines, man. We really appreciate it, dude. We really appreciate you guys that are delivering, stuff for Amazon and fixing people's heaters and making it okay at home, plumbers and all kinds of stuff that, are helping out and just our everyday existence. All right, I need to read to you. Judas, you ready? Because of the beef that I had with the Quaz man.
Ah, okay.
Because the Quaz and I have been going toe-to-toe over rugs. Comes down to rugs. So he likes Jefferson, I like rugs. Now, our lads, which I really like, is a really good quality resource. Now, they got him in their mock lasting to 21. I don't think so. And now here's what they say, because they have it, but they agree. Here's the little skinny from our lads on rugs. We can't see the speedster lasting until 21, but stranger things have happened. a junior from Montgomery, Alabama. 2 year starter with experience as a receiver, ball carrier, and special team standout. Ruggs' game begins with speed. An elite level of speed that is already being viewed as maybe the fastest in the country. Alabama coaches labeled him the most competitive player on the squad, and it shows as a gunner on special teams. Ruggs has improved as a route runner to the point where he can be counted on to separate as an underneath route runner with his cut and go burst. If he does find some space, it's over. His acceleration and stride speed is that special. There's still some rough spots to cover his skill set as a pass catcher, but Ruggs easily has the ability to be an elite game breaker at the next level. Speedster gives Carson Wentz a threat to open up the underneath routes for bigger receivers. His hand size, 10 1/8. What do you think of that?
I love it. I loved every single word that you just said.
All right, you ready? Now, this is Justin Jefferson. Junior entry from St. Rose, Louisiana. A two-year starter that earned second-team All-SEC honors in 2019. A featured receiver for each of the past two seasons, whose 18 touchdowns in 2019 were second in the nation, only to teammate Ja'Marr Chase. Jefferson primarily played out of the slot in 2019 because of his crisp route running and smooth ball skills. It will likely be his ideal spot in the NFL. He has great twitch and transition for a player with his length at 6'1", 202, will create unique opportunities in that role at the next level. He has excellent long speed and playing strength. He proved his ability to impact the game short and deep and will be an NFL-ready receiver right away. Hand size 9 1/8. Now, good, right? Justin Jefferson, good. He's a slot guy. Don't we need outside receivers?
Yes. Yes, you do.
Do I need to argue more Henry Ruggs over Justin Jefferson with Quaz?
No, I don't think so. Quaz will say he can move him to the outside, though.
But again, he is better as a slot guy. It's right here. He had a great quarterback throwing him the football. Who was the quarterback when Alabama was in the playoffs? Because it wasn't Tua, was it? Tunis.
No, it was not.
All right, we talking Baxter?
Yes.
I love the Baxter. You know I love the Baxter. That's right, the most convenient, affordable way to help with your cleanup. The Baxter bag. We all think about it. And in the spring, when we clean up the house or do some remodeling or whatever you need to do when it comes to cleaning up the home, the Baxter bag takes it all. Now, here's the deal. It's a dumpster in a bag. Yeah, you can find it for $29.99 at Home Depot and Lowe's. And the beauty is that it holds 3,300 pounds of waste. It's 3 cubic yard dumpster, but in a bag. It holds and has the strength just as much as those ugly metal dumpsters, but a lot less cleaner, a lot less neater, and for only $29.99. You buy it, you fill it, then you schedule your delivery, and they take it away with waste management. Ooh, it's gone. No time limits. It's completely on demand. So I urge you, go to TheBaxter.com. Find a store nearest you for more details, because this is Anthony Gargano telling you to clean it up with a Baxter. Dumpster in a bag.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, Cause Radio and Cinemas. Right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. A little bit later on, we're going to be reliving, because we do our playback every day at 12:20. We get to relive a game because we missed a game so much. And today, we're going to relive 1982. Sixers-Celtics, Game 7, the Beat L.A. game. And so, I got me thinking about old-school basketball and stories. And there's not a greater storyteller. Like, when I think about this, back in the day, a man who knows how to live life, the great World Be Free from the Sixers is on the Comcast Business Hotline. What's up, world?
What's up, cuz? How you doing today?
Hey, Phil, brother. How's the family, man?
Hey, everything's good, man. Everything's good, cuz. You know, trying to go ahead and, you know, isolate and do what everybody else do.
It's crazy. I mean, you've been through a lot in your life. You've seen a lot. Yeah. This is first, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, they had the Ebola and all that about a couple of years ago, the surge, and, you know, it's like everything's happening, you know. So, you know, the thing is, everybody better get right, get back, and do what you got to do, you know what I'm saying? Get right with the man upstairs.
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. So, I want you to talk some stories. Tell some stories. I think good campfire stories as we sit and hang out, like, during this period of isolation. It's great for a guy like you to come on and spin some yarn. And first, I want to get into the game itself. Like, we're playing this game from 1982. So Andrew had never seen it. And the first thing that stood out to him was the mid-range game, because he's used to today and everybody just jacking up threes, and how different the game looked back then.
Mm-hmm. Well, it definitely, you know, was a different game back then. And the most important part, you know, you had from one to 12 men on your basketball team that could actually, especially on that 76er team that I was on, that could actually average 20 points, you know. And they had the outside shooter. We had the outside shooters. And we had the in-between game guys. But, you know, I mean, when something wasn't working, we always had guys that could go to something else. And that was the difference, you know, in the game nowadays.
Yeah, it's funny, because did you ever think that you would have these games where everybody would be shooting threes the way it turned out?
Well, I was shooting these threes before it was.
I know you were. Like, back when you were the Clippers. Yeah. Cleveland. Yeah. Oh my God.
Well, and the thing is, though, you know, when I was shooting those threes, it was bad shots. You know, you know, the coach would look at you. He wouldn't say anything because you're the star of the team, so you really couldn't say anything. But you could see that, you know, by the expression, sometimes if you miss one or two, they're like, "Well, man, why you take that shot?" You know what I'm saying?
So you know what's interesting is that in 1984-85, you averaged almost three threes a game that year. And that was a ton.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And seeing, I let off because the fact that I would have averaged five or six more. But the thing about it, you know, I knew I had that in-between game. And I had a vertical leap because of 44 inches off the ground, so I can get up very high. So I realized, you know, not even 7 footers was really blocking my shot or anything like that.
Let's go back and talk about life in the NBA. What was life in the NBA like in the 70s? Like, when you come in the league And you're a young kid with the Sixers in 1975. What was it? What was that like for you?
Well, I tell you, it was a difference. I saw one of the players that was in the league, about 10 years before I got in there, by the name of Wally Jones from Philadelphia. And Wally was like, you know, he was on his way out, but I was a rookie. And I remember coming into the game, you know, as one of those guys that I knew I can play, but I thought I had everything that I needed, but I really didn't have it because, you know, he taught me some things, you know, in his time that I played with him for about like a year. And, you know, I realized the game was more physical than I thought it would ever be because you had that hand checking rule. And yeah, that hand checking rule, it could really throw you off because I remember taking the jump shot. If I'm right at the basket at the foul line area, I remember taking a jump shot on Wally Jones, and my whole body, once I jumped in the air, was turned completely around to the other side of the basket. And I wondered, like, what was going on? There was no fouls or anything. And I'm saying to myself, like, wow, this is going to be a different game. You can go to that basket. And I remember we were in Detroit, and Bob Lanier, you know, he was 6'11", about 375,000 pounds. You know, I went down the lane and he like almost brutalized me. You know, it was like an assault. He would have been put in jail. You know what I mean? The way it is now. So I said to myself, I was like, whoa, man, these guys right here, you know, you got to get your game together. And that's how people had to work on. I had to work on my in-between game. I know that because that punishment was like seriously, serious punishment. And guys didn't really care about like giving you an intentional foul back then.
Now, the game was, I mean, we were talking about the game was so much rougher back then. I mean, you talked about, I mean, like, how about a Maurice Lucas?
No, the enforcer.
Marvin Barnes, like these dudes.
Tyron Barnes.
What did they call him? Tyron Barnes?
Tyron, yeah. I played with Marvin his last part of his career. I played with the San Diego Clippers.
Wow.
And Marvin came on my team, and I was like, "Oh, okay, we got our enforcer over here." But Marvin was—he was a heck of a guy, though. But you know, you didn't want to get on his bad side.
Did he play in Buffalo for a while? I remember him being.
Yeah, he played in Buffalo, and he went to Connecticut.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a hell of a talent, though.
And the nasty dudes, like those guys. Were mean, man. Like, I mean, like when guys would fight back then, I mean, that was like scary fighting back then.
Well, that's what I'm telling you, cuz. Like, you know, back then, guys fought you for just no reason. You know, you might have came in and just looked at them wrong. All of a sudden, now you're face to face, you know what I'm saying? And it wasn't like no regular, like, little kind of punches, though. You know, I mean, you go all into the stands with these guys back in the days now. You know what I mean? Those are real fights.
I'm enamored by the NBA in the 70s. Like, if I want to do a book about that. Because I think it was such a crazy world back then. I mean, like I look at it now, right?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.